Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2. We are Lavarians. I have here with me my amazing co-host.
Hey, everybody, this is your boy, Kyle.
Hey, and I'm Dominique. Today, y'all, we are talking about, is love enough?
Is it?
Is it? But first, I want to say shout out to everybody who listened to our first episode.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you all and your input and the calls and texts that we got saying how amazing the first episode was. So if you have not yet heard or listened to the first episode, please go do so now.
Listen out.
Because it hit on some good topics. I mean, we got off topic a few times. However, we wheeled it back in.
Okay.
You know, but it was cool. It was cool. So, is love enough?
Mm-hmm.
Love, people don't understand, is an action word.
You gotta pray.
I know, we will. Okay. I'm getting there.
I'm sorry.
You asked me to lead this, so
rock
let me
it,
be
rock
great.
With it, rock with it. I'm
all
sorry.
Right, so we're starting off this episode with, is love enough? We hit on it a little bit on the first episode. That's why you need to go listen to it. But before we get into all of that, going to go ahead and pray, as we will do in every episode. So, Lord God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for just being so amazing, God, and loving us unconditionally, God. Thank you for even when we fail or we make mistakes, God, you still love us and still those twins, Grace and Mercy. We thank you for those twins, God. And we thank you for just covering us and keeping us. Bless our listeners that are listening right now, God. Anything that's going on in their lives, God, just touch them and let them know that you are there and that you are present and that no weapon formed against them shall prosper and that they are more than conquerors. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I love when you pray.
Thanks. All right, y'all. Is love enough? What do you think, Mr. Walton? Is love enough for you? And we could give some examples of, is love enough? Because I feel like we both in our lifetime have been through a lot of different situations. We've had different relationships. And so I feel like we got some stories.
We do. So I'm as I always say in everything when I'm talking to somebody, I always say that I am an eternal optimist when it comes to love.
Yes, you are.
So I believe love is enough. I feel like love can get you through all the hard times and the bad times. And I think that if it doesn't, to me, you're truly not in love.
Explain. Give an example, like some tough, not nothing little whack. Like, give me some tough that you'll be like, all right, love can still, I can still get through because
so
I love this
financial
person.
Hardships, okay. Right? Financial hardships is one of the biggest causes of relationships,
deal breakers.
You know, just falling apart completely. And I feel that if you're truly in love with that person, you can sit there and come together with a plan to understand, hey, maybe we got to scale back on this, or hey, we got to do this, or what else do we need to do to be able to get through this?
Okay.
When you're in love with somebody, it's a partnership. Mm-hmm. It is not just two individuals who have come together.
Okay.
It is a partnership between the two individuals, and now they look at each other as one. And so they have to then continue to move as one and do that. And I mean, you know, I'm in a relationship now where that is not necessarily being tested, but it is being looked at because stuff has gone up and down a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just one of those real questions. And, you know I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I know I love you deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So
what? I'm listening.
She just gave me this look, so I don't know. Maybe I'm in trouble for something. I don't know.
You're not in trouble for anything. I'm listening.
But yeah, you know, I feel that even after our arguments or stuff that we have, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, all right, okay, we go get through this because I know how much I love you and
yeah.
I know how much you love me.
Mm-hmm.
So for that's what I'm.
Okay, so I feel like there's different ways to look at is love enough, uh-oh. Right? So you
trouble.
Have the, no, you're not. So you have the, oh my God, I'm so in love with you. I just want to spend the rest of my life with you, blah, 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 blah. And then you have the, I love you enough to let you go. I love you enough and I love me more to say this ain't gonna work out because my peace is more important than me trying to love you and I'm not getting the same back. So sometimes love can be one-sided.
True.
And one person is giving more than the other. So there's that unbalance and there's that I can't do this because I'm putting more into this than you are. You know, so that there's a lot of layers with the is love enough that you really people do experience.
Yes, but I feel like for me, again, love is a partnership. Right. So if it's one sided, I don't think it's fully love. I think that it's a strong like.
And you can fall out of love with somebody as well.
Yeah.
You know, people, I've seen people, oh, I'm so in love, blah, 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 blah. And then a hardship comes. And it's like, ugh, you didn't handle that like I thought, or you didn't do this like I felt like you should, or you didn't handle this that way. I don't think I could rock with you because you're not. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, let me ask this. If one instance allows you to fall out of love with somebody.
No, I didn't say it was one instance.
And I'm not saying that you did.
Oh, okay.
But if you do fall out of love with that person after one instance.
Okay.
Are you truly in love with that person?
No. I don't think so. Okay. No.
That's my take too. I just want to know what
you're saying. No. I'm not saying that. But if it's a constant over and over repeating a repeated situation or a repeated habit, then okay. I can't do this.
Can love.
And you can still love somebody and leave them. Yes, you can.
Okay. Can. Hey, you made me forget my thought.
Again, you always forget your thought. I always try to blame it on me.
Can love. I don't know. I done lost it now.
Oh, my goodness.
My eyebrows are, like, amazing right now. I'm lost right
my
now.
My eyebrows?
Yes, they keep raising. I brush them. They look beautiful.
You know, the same brush I use for my lashes.
Love.
I brush my eyebrows. All right, so. What is a situation in a previous relationship where you feel like you were just head over heels for somebody, but they showed you something else and you were like, I can't do this. Like, I love you, but I have to walk away because this is toxic. And take your time. Because I feel like you have a lot to choose from, sir. You've been in a lot of relationships.
Really? Really? That's what we're doing?
I'm just saying. You have. I have too. Wow. It's not just me. I mean, just you.
I think for somebody to disappear on you, I think that is very detrimental. Like, I understand that you may have something that you're going through or whatever. But for me, I'm the biggest person. Like, hey, let's figure this out together. You know what I mean? I always feel like two minds are better than one. And that if we're committed to each other, we need to be able to figure this out. It's not a one way thing. I don't always practice what I preach. but in the same instance, I think that that's one of those things where you can't just disappear on somebody and then pop up months later and be like, hi.
Oh, no, we don't do that. And I would have said, reply back. Goodbye.
Right. What about you?
I have so many to choose from, you know, I dated some lanes. But when somebody down talks to you, that's the biggest thing for me. I feel like when you're with somebody, nobody's perfect. But just because I'm weaker in an area, more weak in an area than you are, that doesn't give you the right to talk down to me or make me feel less than because I'm not strong in that area. If anything, you're supposed to see my flaws and help me fix those flaws or better my flaws than to make me feel like I'm just whack or I'm just terrible or I suck, you know? Because for me, if I'm with you or someone and I see there's an area you struggle in, you've called it nagging. But for me, it's I see how great you could be or can be. You're just not putting enough effort in that area to be better.
Right.
So I stay on you. Right. And that's for anybody. Anybody that knows me will tell you, don't tell her you want to do something. Mm-hmm. Or don't tell her a dream or ambition, because she's going to push you. Because I just want everybody to be great. I just want everybody to just do what they love and do it with excellence.
Right. So let me ask this, though. In the same instance, can you, because you're so passionate about what they believe in and they're passionate about it as well, can your passion, obviously your passion isn't the exact same, mm-hmm. but can your passion come off in a negative aspect on the way that you are bringing the passion to that person?
I don't think so. Like, how is that negative? If you're put, if you
what
want
I'm saying,
somebody to be great.
What I'm saying is that the way that you deliver the message to them, and hey, you ain't doing what you got to do, or you ain't doing that, sometimes it can come off in a negative aspect, because it's like, hey, you know what I mean? I see what you're trying to do, but your delivery and how you're trying to do it isn't hitting home.
I'm the biggest person about delivery, mm-hmm. about how I say things, about how I do things, because I know how I feel if somebody doesn't deliver it to me correctly.
Right.
So before I say anything, I'm checking my tone. I'm checking what I'm saying and how I'm saying it. Mm. So if somebody is defensive in that area, that means they're just not ready to pursue what they want to do at that moment. Okay. I don't take it as a bad thing. It's just they're not prepared or they're not ready. But in all things, do it in love.
Yes, do it in love. Can past relationships cause triggers that don't allow you to see that person the way that they actually do love you?
Oh, yeah. I think there's blockers there, because I'll say for me, coming out of relationships where I feel like I gave more than I received, and then you get in a relationship where there's somebody who just goes above and beyond, it could be like, okay, hold on, chill. Like, this is a lot, you know, slow down, because I'm not used to this. I'm mm-hmm. not ready for this. Not saying I won't ever be ready or I won't ever get used to it. It can be a little overwhelming at first. But then you start getting used to it. And then when they stop or don't do it as much, you're like, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you stopping? Mm-hmm. You know?
Can you take it for granted?
Yeah. I think that kind of stuff can be taken for granted if you're so used to them doing for you. And then they stop, you looking like, why you stop? Mm. But I also feel like you have to give and take. What you take, you have to give back.
True.
I don't believe in one-sidedness when it comes to relationships or even friendships, period. I feel like those are bonds and those are things that people have to work at together. Like, I'm the kind of friend, I don't have to call you every day. I don't have to text you every day. And I've seen myself be that kind of girlfriend too. I don't have to be around you every day, every minute. I don't have to text you all day. But you will still know that I'm there if you need me. So that's how I am. I show my love different though than other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not touchy feely or none of that, but I'm not. But I'm present in the time.
What's your definition of love?
I was about to ask you the same thing.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for this, you know, since the end. I was about to ask you the exact same thing. My definition of love is being present. Being present. Being selfless. Just a lot of people. Well, I won't even say a lot of people. For me, I'll just speak for me. For me, when I say I love you, I legit love you. Like, you can do wrong in my eyes, but I can see past your mistakes. I can see past the hurt, and I can see past the anything that doesn't represent love. I can see past it, and I can work with you in that area, depending. However, if it's the same thing over and over and over again, and you have not proving yourself to change or want to be better, and you just keep trying to hurt me or hurt me, whether you do it on purpose or not, I have to love you from a distance. I have to separate myself, because I know me, I will continue to get hurt unless I remove myself from the situation. So, but I definitely believe love is an action word. Mm. You can't just tell somebody you love them and not show them.
True.
So what about you?
True. A lot of the sentiments that you say we share.
Okay.
I believe love is an action word. I believe that love is something that is pure.
Mm.
It's not something that is forced. It's not something that is made up. It's something that you feel. It's a flutter. It's a butterfly effect. It's a, you know, everything that you, it's whimsical. Mm. You know what I mean? Love is one of those things that can transform your entire mood.
Mm.
By just a look at somebody. It's an aura. It's a atmosphere. It is any adjective that you can think that makes you stop in your tracks,
mm-hmm.
and have just googly feeling inside.
googly feeling.
That's what I believe love is. I believe love is one of those things that transcends through anything. You know what I mean? Even in the Bible, love conquers evil,
mm-hmm.
and it is something that you don't have to worry about, because you know you have that love regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in previous relationships, when you look back at them and you're like, oh, I was so in love with them, and you really mm-hmm. think about it, you weren't, because a lot of it was forced. I also believe love is easy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's not something that you struggle with. Now, when you're in love, then struggle comes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that love is forced by any means.
No, love, and that love shouldn't be forced. I feel like if it's forced, it's not real.
It's not.
So, yeah. What about teaching your children to love?
I think that's big. I think that comes from showing.
Hmm.
You know, when, especially in a two-parent household, I think that if you're raising boys, you have to teach a young man how to love on the person that you're in love with,
mm-hmm.
or how to love your mom, because love comes with respect as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to show this, the common courtesy, the small things, like if you are coming home late and it's dark outside, having the door locked or mm-hmm. the door open, waiting for when somebody walks in. I think that you have to show that aspect of it, because it's true. Because if you don't, it's going to be such a big generation that's miseducated, like the first topic that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
No, I was looking. There's a type of love that's called agape love.
Okay.
It's the highest form of love.
Okay.
And it's the love that God shows us and shows people. And so I was thinking about that. If we love each other how Christ loves us, period, I feel like a lot of things would change. A lot of things would be done differently. And I feel like the patience to love would increase. And what I mean by that is, we're all kind of jacked up people all over. Nobody got everything together. Everybody is struggling with something. However, when we see our neighbor, you know, I always talk about this, our brother or sister in Christ, or our significant other, and we see them struggling in an area, instead of beating them down about it, I really do believe in loving somebody out of mess. Loving someone in their lowest of low point, just showing them love, and that them double mint twins again, giving that grace and mercy, showing that grace to one another, can be a huge thing. Like, I, in my last relationship, my marriage, I struggled with that at first, of loving somebody in their lowest points. And I also had the misconception, oh, you're a man, like, you shouldn't be feeling like this, like, because that's what I thought men were unbreakable. But then I realized that the black men has the biggest weight on them to be great, right? And so if you're already being beat up by the world, you don't want to come home and be beat up as well. And it took me a while to understand that, and I read a lot. And so I was reading things, and I stumbled across something when it talked about the black men and how their home should be their peace because the world is so against them already. And that checked me. And I literally had to ask him to forgive me in that area because I wasn't being the supportive, loving wife that he needed in that moment, in that time. And I just changed how my delivery was and things like that. That's why I'm so big on how I deliver things, because those lessons and that lesson taught me it's not what you say, but how you say it. I had to learn it first before I could preach that or live by that. So I think that's a huge thing. So now, although him and I aren't together anymore for other reasons, we're still really good friends, of course, for our children. But as I move on into a new relationship, there's just a lot of things that my marriage taught me to be better and to love better and how to love. And everybody can't be loved the same way.
Right.
That's another big thing. You cannot love every person the same way. Every person needs a different type of love and appreciation and understanding, because like I said, we're all different. We're all made up differently. And so like we talked last time, a lot of how people are brought up causes them to react or deliver differently. I was brought up in love, being loved. And so how I even love on my children is different, especially having all boys. I make sure they know I love them. Even when I can't feel, my legs went numb because my oldest wanted to sit on my lap like a baby again, I allow him, because that's the time he needs to just be loved on. And I'm okay with that. I can't feel my legs when you get up. Your big butt sat on me too long. But I'm cool with it.
Right.
Because I know that those are things that they will carry on with them becoming adults. And when they get married and have their children. So all of that matters and crosses my mind when I'm dealing with my children.
I think love when it comes to the children is shown differently, especially when it comes to rearing a child in a certain aspect. You know, like, I remember we used to have disagreements about how I would punish the boys, right? And it was always a, you know, you do it this way and I do it this way. And
yeah, we have two different styles.
My biggest thing was that I still love on them enough, but I also didn't feel like I loved on them enough. And talking to you, I know that's very contradictory in the statement I just made. I felt that I did, but then talking to you, I realized that I didn't. And especially like with my oldest is getting up there now where he don't, you know what I'm saying? He is just wild. He is me 2.0 without question. But my youngest, his whole persona is just love.
I just love him.
Like, if you were to ever talk to Caleb, it's just love in every aspect of it. And
even yesterday. Hi, Mommy Noodle.
Listen. You sang yesterday, and when we left the church, he was singing. It was like, oh, my God, I love this song. I can't wait. And I was like, oh, man, I wish you would have stayed. But I also know that, that love. Me. I know that love, that boy was clean, so that's why he had to go with me. But yeah, it's just one of those things that you have to look at, because, you know, I was brought up to knock a kid out, because that's how I was brought up.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? And at times I didn't feel the love in that aspect. Well, let's talk about
real quick.
Okay.
You were brought up getting weapons.
Right? Yes.
I was brought up getting knocked out every chance she could swing. Okay. Right. But we still took it two different ways.
Right.
And I think that's, when I thought about it the other day, I'm like, that's crazy. We both grew up in a house with single moms, basically, mm-hmm. who had the iron fist when it came to discipline mm-hmm. and, you know, things like that. But we still interpreted, we got two different things from it.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up still believing, okay, you know, in whippings and things like that. I grew up, no, I'm not whipping my kids because... For me, I feel like it was unnecessary. A lot of times I got a whooping, I felt like my mom could have just talked to me and I would have been cool. But she didn't, because I feel like also the pressure of other people, oh, she need a whooping, she need a whooping. You know, that was the thing. And I took that as, you didn't have to whip me. You chose to whip me because you felt like that's what you needed to do in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took that, I'm not whipping my kids for what? When... Now, listen, now if you're doing the most, first of all, I don't have to whip you. You're going to do these squats on this wall. You're going to hold this airplane with these books in your hand. You about to run until you can't lift your legs up no more. That's how I believe in discipline. Or I'm going to take your phone. I'm going to take your the stuff you that I know you enjoy. I'm going to take it from you. But even in that, I thought it was very interesting when I really, really thought about it, that we basically had the same bringing up. I mean, a little different. You grew up Baptist. I grew up Pentecostal. That's a whole different thing. You know, we saved over here. I don't know about y'all Baptists.
Wow,
I don't know about y'all Baptists. Y'all still be cussing after church in the park line smoking. So I don't know.
I like the Pentecostal don't, but okay.
Nah, we still shout in the park line.
Okay, yeah. Until ain't nobody around.
But no, just shoot. I'm just saying. I thought it was interesting to look at those two.
No, I can agree with that. Being with you has taught me that everything isn't necessary, mm-hmm. right? But I also think you being with me has taught that there are a lot of times when it is necessary.
Yeah.
And so for me, like I try to bring the love in a mixture of ways, but I also know that with one of them being just like me,
yeah,
I knew what got me together.
Okay.
I knew what helped me further on. And once you became lax on that, it was just like, okay, cool. You don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's always the thing, even in coaching, you know, you always say, if I ain't talking to you, then it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because that means I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel. If I ain't tagging you and I'm just do whatever,
mm-hmm.
I done gave up. So I think that's where, you know, the love is different. And, you know, I sit back now and I understand where some of the whippings came from. Some mm-hmm. of them obviously were unnecessary. As all parents, there's going to be a whipping where you'd be like, oh, that. You know, I did that out of a reaction because I was having a bad day.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, the weapons are warranted the way they're supposed to be.
Oh. Mm.
Whatever.
Whatever. I don't know. I just can't get into whippings. I don't know, because and it's crazy to me how big you are on Black history, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say the wrong thing. Whippings were taught because that's what the slave masters did to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they felt like they got our attention, right? And I feel like whippings were carried down because that's a mentality that African Americans had. Well, I need to whip you to get your attention. But I really feel like if that was not incorporated, whippings would not be a thing.
And I'm not going to continue to dive into this because we're like, you know, 9/10 off the subject. And this wasn't my fault this time, people.
No, it wasn't your fault, but I'm just saying it was on my mind.
But you got a lot of kids out here that ain't never been hit before.
True.
And they as crazy as Betsy Bubs. Right?
I don't even know what a Betsy Bubs is.
And that's fine. That's what my dad and my mama would say.
Oh, my goodness.
But if you... A lot of times it is an attention getter.
Mm.
It is something that I always say pain brings thought,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if I tag you one good time before you do something that you ain't supposed to, you're going to be like, yo, I don't think I want to get it again. Like, as a slave, you knew running away, you was going to get beat if you got caught. You knew what it was. It brung the thought process of, yo, man, I seen my boy getting thrashed. Am I really going to do that? Nah. You know what I mean? And yeah. So for me, I get that? And I'm very big on that Black history. Yes. But I don't also believe that it's wrong, because I feel like my kids don't love me any less because they get, you know what I'm saying?
True.
Like KJ, the hardest kid that I got to tag all the time, he'll still be like, daddy, I love you. You know what I'm saying? And the real soft, I ain't around nobody, just, hey, I love you. You know what I mean? And you can tell that he still needs that. He needs that, hey, I need that father figure. I need that person to get me in line, because mom ain't doing it. And I'm not saying that she's not. Let's make sure that that's not what I'm saying by any means. But that's just what I'm simply saying, that structure he needs. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, I understand that I need this. I understand I messed up.
Mm. All right, it's my last point. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Do you think it's possible?
Nope. I'm just playing. I'm sorry. Wow. I'm sorry. I don't even know what you're going to say.
Do you think it's possible for you to love someone else's children like your own?
Yes.
When dating,
yes, someone. I do.
You do.
I do. Mm-hmm. I think it's a difficult thing at times, mm-hmm. because that child, you don't know what that child has been through.
True.
Right. And so that child is going to give you attitude and a certain type of feeling, because you're not what he's used to, and two, if he's gotten used to something and then it didn't work out between you and that other parental figure at the time, then he's just like, well, I don't feel like going through this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it's going to be a lot of pushback. But, you know, like, for me, I mean, for me, it was a real tiptoe issue with your oldest. And it was just because I know he had been through some stuff. Mm-hmm. But I also know that I was a new person. And it wasn't like, you know, I couldn't jack him up or do the same thing.
I mean, you weren't that new. Like, we've been around you several times, but it was like a high and by. Yeah. Like, he knew of you. Yeah. He just didn't know you
You know what I'm saying? And I've tried. It was like almost walking on eggshells around him at times.
No, I get that part. That situation is very sensitive.
Yeah. But then, you know, once I fully felt like it was just okay for me, and that was a mental thing for me to be like, all right, you know, that's my kid. You know what I mean? In so many words, it was just like, okay, cool. You can see the stuff just fall off, the armor that he had built up fall off. And it was just like, okay, cool. And so, you know, with your three, those are my guys.
Yeah.
It don't matter. You know what I mean? I'm going to give it to them like they mine. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to love them like they mine. And if it's a problem, I'm going to fight for them like they mine. Because at the end of the day, they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What about you?
Yes, I do. Well, you know, I've known your boys since they were little. I've been around them several times. And to see them where they are now, big boys, you know, big boys now.
Wow. I'm thirsty.
So you're gonna crinkle the bottle?
I didn't do it. Come on now, really? This is what we own.
Oh my gosh. I absolutely love your boys, and even KJ knows. Like, I do this to all the boys. They don't know it though, but I say, you're my favorite. Don't tell nobody.
Caleb was hurt.
Yeah, he was. Oh my God!
Like him,
right? Over Are you me? Sure? But I do it. I whisper in the boys' ears all the time. You're my favorite. Don't tell anybody. You know, and I always tell my oldest. I would say my favorite is whoever I'm talking to at the time. And because, you know, kids, I was saying, mom always has a favorite. Every mom can, if they have multiple children, your children always thinks that there's a favorite,
right?
And other parents don't want to admit it. Every parent has a favorite child. However,
I don't.
Okay, I'm going to make sure you repent after you say that. But for me, I never wanted that. Once there was more than just Zay, when I had Malcolm, I was like, yo, I'm now a parent with more than one child. You know, and then came Cammy, who stole my whole face. He stole my whole face. I tell them all the time, like Malcolm Saturday was sitting on my lap. And I whispered in his ear, I said, you're my favorite. He was like, oh, really, Mom? I said, yeah. He said, oh, my goodness. Why? Why am I your favorite? Why do you, me? Like, he was in shock. I said, Malcolm, you're so epic. You know, that's his favorite word. I'm so epic. Yes, Mom, you're epic. And then I had Cameron yesterday for his birthday. And I was right there. I said, Cammy, you're my favorite. He said, he turned around. He had this biggest smile on his face. He said, I am. I say yes. And then I told Zay, and then I told Caleb and KJ, and they all give it. It's the most amazing. One day you should just try it. Go to all of them and just tell them they're your favorite. Okay. And watch their face.
You think I have a favorite of your three?
You do.
And then you think I have a favorite of my two?
Yes, because you do.
I don't.
I just
love them.
Lift your hands right now and ask the Lord to forgive you for lying, because you do.
I just love them. I love them.
I think we have an amazing group of boys. Everybody has their own personalities except for two. I feel like we have two of the same.
Yeah.
I have one and you have one who are exactly alike. Yeah. It's kind of creepy. And I just, the way, I think we're really blessed, with our boys, although sometimes our oldest two can, you know, they feeling themselves cause they getting a little older. Mm-hmm.
And they fighting for that supremacy of Big Brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause one is used to being a Big Brother on his side and one is Big Brother on his side. Now it's all one now. So it's a little different, but I still love the way the boys love each other.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
They bicker and fight as if they've been around each other since the first breath of air.
Yep.
When they're not around each other, it's like they're gasping for air.
Yeah, they're like, where they at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that. But we're going to go to Dominique's prescriptions. We're going to wrap this up.
Doses.
Well, you never made it official. So there are 8 different ways to show love.
Okay.
Right? Especially now in this pandemic, I think everybody needs to do a little bit more in the love area. So the first one is listen without interrupting. Huh. Don't listen to respond.
Huh.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
But listen to understand.
Mm.
And that's a big, big thing.
It is.
And it says, when we give someone our full attention, listen intently without interrupting or thinking about how we will respond. We show love by demonstrating that their concerns are a priority.
Okay.
So the second one is pray without ceasing.
Mm.
When we offer to pray for someone and we continue to do so until those prayers are answered, that demonstrates love by communicating that their concerns are a concern to us as well. Third one is thinking without grumbling. Anyone can find fault with situations, but it shows love when we can look past the discomfort or the frustration and instead of complaining, find something to be thankful for that builds up rather than tearing down. All right, and that was a great one. Number 4 is forgive without condemning.
Mm.
That's good. One of the greatest demonstrations of love we can offer is to forgive someone who has wronged us and choose not to retaliate, condemn, or punish them in the process. True forgiveness means we no longer reserve the right to determine their fate, but we release them to God, who will work in their heart for their good and His glory.
Okay.
Number 5 is to promise without forgetting. I'm really, really big on promises. Mm-hmm. If I promise the kids to do something, I make sure I do it, because that was something I struggled with as a child. I got people who promised me so many things, especially my father, and he never came through.
Yeah.
And so that broke trust in me, and it was hard for me to trust people when they said they had me or they were going to do for me, because if you didn't do it, I automatically wrote you off. So promise without forgetting. When someone makes a promise then doesn't see it through to completion, it sends the message that they are not trustworthy and they don't care enough for another to make them a priority. When we keep our promises, we demonstrate our love by proving ourselves trustworthy and committed. So number six is speak without accusing. We can profess our love to someone, but when we speak accusingly to someone, we place more priority on being right or proving a point than on caring for another's feelings, self-esteem, or growth. Speaking without accusation is another way of sharing love without saying the words, "I love you." That's big. Don't speak at me. Speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven is answer without arguing. That's big.
That's huge.
I think we're still working on that.
Right.
While we cannot control what others say to us, we can choose our response. Engaging in an argument places a higher priority on being right than on respect and unity. So answering someone without arguing is another demonstration of love because it indirectly places another's needs before our own need to prove our innocence or someone else's failure.
Okay.
And eight, give without expectation. When we give something, whether material goods, time, or affection to another, when we expect something in return, even just a certain reaction, it cheapens the gift and turns into an exchange.
Yeah.
Giving freely with no expectation for reaction or reciprocation shows selfless love. So, again, listen without interrupting, pray without ceasing, thanking without grumbling, forgive without condemning, promise without forgetting, speak without accusing, answer without arguing, and give without expectation. I love you are words that bring comfort, peace, and joy to our heart. But sometimes you need to take action and show your love to others. So, let's work on showing love this week.
Okay.
In different ways.
Okay.
You know, we did our 5 love language tests. Yours was touch, quality time. Mine is gifts and acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should do, I think every couple needs to do that. Love language test, I think every 6 months.
Okay.
Or at least once a year. Because I think it changes.
So are you saying that you would like to combine our love languages?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, on that note, what we'll do is we'll wrap up. And it's funny that we're going to combine our love languages this week because the next topic is actually a combination of things.
That's dope.
See what I did there?
See what you did there.
Okay. So, and I think that we're also going to have a subtopic of 1 + 1 =
Okay.
Because I think that they're two in the same.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go from there. But you know, as always, everyone, you know, we thank you, we love you, and I think that this is a phenomenal episode. So as always, please like, subscribe, and share.
Yes.
To
Love Variants.
Are you gonna spell it this time?
No. Oh, I'll leave that to you. Oh wait, maybe I can. I'm a cheat though.
She's going to look it up. Oh my god.
Because I feel like I'm going to like jack it up.
Oh,
all right. So you can follow us on Instagram at Love Variants. That is LoveVariants. You can always email us your questions or concerns at lovevariants@gmail.com.
We're also on Twitter
at lovevariants. We don't have a Facebook yet.
No.
But please comment, share, subscribe. You guys, please, we have a few posts up already on our Instagram. We have 5 posts. We have 23 followers, which is cool. And we do follow back.
Yes, we do.
We are not bougie like these other platforms. Mm-hmm. We do follow back. We are not haters. So go ahead and do that and show us some love. But I do want to give a shout out because my co-host is an amazing businessman and he has several businesses. And yeah, he has his lawn care. He makes shirts, logos, websites. I mean, you listen, there's nothing he can't do. He's so dope. And I think more people need to know how dope he is.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
See, you always have my voice cracking. I don't know how it goes. But I mean, so, you know, I always like to return the love.
No. This is what I was doing for you.
Oh, my gosh. So, all right, well, I'm not going to say that.
No, hey, don't say nothing.
Follow her. At Goldie Nails.
Nails with the Z.
Yes, yes, yes. But, you know, like I said, as always, people, you know, we love you. We thank you. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Love y'all. It's Dominique.
It's Kyle.
All right. Peace out.
Peace.